Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Welcome to the White House. I hope you are all well caffeinated. We are excited to have you all here today. My name is Kyle Learman. I'm a senior policy advisor and associate director in the Domestic Policy Council and here in the White House Office of Public Engagement. It is really wonderful to see so many familiar faces for what is, it's bittersweet to say, but our last community college convening here at the White House. It's an honor to have everyone and to have folks who we have worked with day in and day out over the course of the last 7.5 years. It's really exciting to have everyone here. So to kick things off here today, we've got an incredible lineup of speakers and folks who are doing incredible things across the country. But to kick things off, someone who I know is a familiar face to all of you and really has been the leader in this White House and across the administration in driving America's College Promise forward, Cecilia Munoz, who's our director of the Domestic Policy Council.
Thank you, Kyle. Good morning, everybody. You guys are our favorite people. We're very excited to have you here. You have big, big fans all across the White House. And I should start by thanking Kyle for all of the hard work that he's done to pull this together. This is someone who is a true believer in what community colleges can produce, not just for our students, but for our country. And also thank Martha Cantor, who was right over there. Where did she go? There you are. We appreciate your leadership, both in making today's conversation possible, but also the successful PromiseNet conference of the last couple days, which I also had the honor of participating in. But I'm especially honored to welcome you here to the White House. I've been here since the beginning, along with my wonderful colleague Roberto Rodriguez, and from the very first day, the president has been focused like a laser on the importance of higher education, the importance of access to higher education, the importance of making sure we get more students in, but that we help more students finish. And it has been clear since the very beginning that community colleges are at the very, very center of that. And I hope over the last 8 years you have been feeling that love. Is that true? Yes? I'm glad you feel it because it's real. We've just fully grasped how central you are to our country's success. Community college students reflect who this country is. They reflect our diverse populations. You serve older students, you serve low and moderate income students, you serve students of every possible racial and ethnic background, people in urban and rural communities, you serve some of the fastest growing segments of the population, you support students who are growing their careers and taking care of their families. I think the student video contest winner said it best yesterday, the word community is what makes community colleges so special. And the president really understands that in a very fundamental way. So since 2009, we've invested more than $70 billion, with a B, in support of community colleges, including over $66 billion in over 19 million Pell scholarships to help students and families pay for college, $2 billion in job-driven training community college grants to strengthen education and training programs that lead to in-demand employment and provide a ticket to the middle class, to nearly half of the nation's community colleges, $1.6 billion in Title III and Title V to strengthen institutions' capacity for providing students an affordable, high-quality education. These are really, really critical investments, and they really, I think, cement this legacy of really demonstrating that community colleges are providers of high-quality, affordable pathways for all Americans to work hard in pursuit of the skills that they need to be successful. And it's not just their success, it's really our success that's on the line here. So the president also recognized that if we really want to accelerate our progress in college access and completion, we need to do more and we need more partners to share responsibility, which is why he announced the America's College Promise program last January. Since then, at least 36 states, communities, and community colleges have launched their own free community college programs across the country. They're raising over $150 million in new public and private investments to serve more than 180,000 students. So we've established some real momentum. And what we're really hoping to see and what we feel like we are seeing, and your presence here is really part of that, is that this is momentum which is going to continue. This was an idea that really sparked a tremendous response and a tremendous amount of excitement when the president announced it. So we're excited about that. We're excited about the momentum that we've built. But a handful of us have 80-plus more days of this to go, at least in our current positions. So we're well aware, as we have been really the whole time, that if we're going to be successful over the long run, these partnerships matter a lot, that ultimately this momentum is going to be carried forward, hopefully because of the work that we've done to invest in it, but also especially because the work that you will do to continue it. This is one of many reasons why we're so glad you're here. So we have two key objectives for the day. First, we're just here to celebrate you and thank you for all of your incredible work to support student success around the country, and particularly to help make sure more students get prepared for college earlier, have support throughout their college search and application process to make sure they enroll, they get connected to subjects that they're passionate about, and have the professors and peers that they can learn from, and ultimately that can help them complete college with a promising career and a bright future ahead of them. That is perhaps the most important work there is, worth celebrating. We have a second objective, which is essentially that we're bringing together critical leaders today to learn, to build bridges, to share best practices, so that we can take all of these ideas home and build on the momentum that we've started by translating those ideas into action. So you're going to hear from leading researchers about the importance of evidence to test and scale what works, and the tools available to us to ensure that we build a strong knowledge base to inform policies and practices. But you're also going to hear some stories of how schools, cities, and states got free community college off the ground because it was an effective college access and completion strategy. So their stories show that one idea and the data to justify it can translate into significant action for students in their communities. And then finally, you're going to hear from model partnerships between community colleges and K-12 systems, four-year systems, and employers, because they're critical to prepare students for their goals during and beyond community college. So throughout all these conversations today, I encourage everybody to think about how this knowledge relates to you specifically in the communities that you work in, to your work in particular, and think about how you can implement and sustain this work back home. You all are really, and I hope you have been feeling this throughout the 8 years, we really understand you as central to our capacity to make the progress that we need to be successful economically in this country. The students that you serve, at some level, are the backbone of the American dream. And I say this as the daughter of an immigrant family. A large number of my aunts and uncles and cousins from my parents' immigrant generation into the next one, community college is how they got their start. The reason my family has been successful in this country is because we had access to institutions like the ones you run all over the country. And that story is repeated over and over and over again in all kinds of different communities around the country. Your work could not be more important. So one, we celebrate you, we thank you. Two, being who we are, working for the guy that expects us to run through the tape till the very last day, we're going to put you to work today. So thank you for that, and thank you for the work that's still ahead of you. We appreciate it more than we can say.
All right, so we're going to dive right in to our first conversation. I know many of you have been here over the course of the last couple of days at PromiseNet. It was an incredible conversation with folks coming in from around the country. And for those of you that were there, but also those of you that weren't there, we wanted to sort of distill the conversation and pull out some of the best things that were talked about there to make sure everyone here gets a bite of that. So to lead our panel, we have Roberto Rodriguez, our fearless leader on the education policy team here at the White House. Come on up. And then Cecilia thanked Martha Cantor earlier, but Martha Cantor, come on up. Martha, I will just say, and I know she's mentioned this to some of you, when the president announced the America's College Promise Plan, we knew that this was going to be a lot of work and that there really needed to be a movement built around the country. And Martha very graciously took up that mantle, and I know has been working day in and day out with so many of you to organize and build this movement with James and Andra and Angela and so many folks around the country. So can we just give Martha and the whole College Promise team a round of applause? And then we have Mary Rauner from WestEd and Karen Stout from Achieving the Dream. Come on up.
Pleasure to welcome you to the White House.
Can everyone hear me? That's better, right? All right. It's a pleasure to welcome you and to have the honor to moderate this panel with such esteemed colleagues and friends. You have full bios, and so we won't spend too much time on that piece. Let me just underscore, before we begin, a few of the points that Cecilia shared this morning and how central this work is to the President's education agenda and to the work we do to really drive greater opportunities and outcomes across our education sector. You know, we want to today do more to build and renew the evidence base around strategies and practices that work to strengthen and continue to expand and support America's community colleges. We want to do more to explore partnerships and the depth of partnerships. I think some of the most inspiring work that we have seen has been where our community colleges are really a hub for continued work with our K-12 sector, with our business and industry sector, with our broader community-based sector, and with our four-year partners to do more to build that pipeline of education for our students. And finally, what can we do to really renew our call to access and completion? The President's higher education agenda has been squarely focused on affordability, access, and attainment as three central goals. And our community college sector and this movement has been about that work, I know, since we began that work together at the beginning of his administration. So we're thrilled to have a chance to explore some of those themes with you. Our charge with this panel is to really unearth some of the lessons from the PromiseNet convening, as Kyle mentions. And I just would like to begin by moving down the panel and asking each of our panelists to really share some of the key takeaways from the PromiseNet work for the broader work around around building and strengthening our community colleges, and to identify maybe any challenges that you believe are important for the room to consider as this movement continues. And we'll begin with Martha.
Okay, so thank you for having me. It's great to be back here. I've been thinking a lot about the first White House summit, and I went back to my notes after the PromiseNet conference last night, and I was looking on the web to see what was the exact date that we were all together here to really launch the agenda back in 2010, and it was on October 5th. So it's exactly 6 years and 22 days that we're back here in this room to talk about the future of community colleges, the future of American higher education, and what more we need to do to work together to create a prosperous America. I think we can tone down the rhetoric. I think a lot of us are sort of feeling exhaustion from the election. We just want it to be over and go forward and do the great work that all of you represent. So one of the takeaways from the PromiseNet, and I want to just acknowledge Janice Brown, who's here, because she was a superintendent of the year in her region in Michigan and has been with the Kalamazoo Promise, founded it back in 2005. So it's celebrating its 11th year, and the conference the last couple days, PromiseNet 2016, is the eighth conference, where the community has really grown, come together to share best practices, look at the evidence base, figure out, you know, what can we take from Tennessee, what can we take from Kalamazoo, what can we take from El Dorado, what can we do to help Oakland launch? And all the programs here, I talked to a university president this morning who's launching a promise in Silicon Valley. So we have this movement that is very new, it's burgeoning. And people want to do more, and I think there's a future here that we need to harness. So when I look at the audience and I see people like David Silver, who represents Mayor Libby Schaaf from Oakland, they've got a hugely ambitious agenda. And then I look across and I see Janice Brown, who is a K-12 superintendent, now working still as a trustee for the Kalamazoo Promise. And then I look at all the community college presidents, and I look at Nancy Zimpfer, who is the Chancellor of the State University of New York. So, and I look at, you know, Bill Moses from the Kresge Foundation in outside of Detroit, and I look at Harold Levy, who represents the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, and I look at all of that, and I say, what more can we do to leverage the College Promise to deepen these cross-sector partnerships? So that was one takeaway from the conference, a tremendous opportunity to network. And for the first time, we were able to bring people like Jennifer Iredi from the University of Pittsburgh and Michelle Miller Adams, I hope you've read the book Promise Nation, and other people like Sarah Goldrick Robb, and all of the researchers and scholars in this room, and Mary Rahner will represent very well that community, to talk about research and policy and how we can drive better evaluation, better metrics, to really go forward, you know, for the big goal, which is completion. We need a more educated society, a more workforce-prepared society, and this is all, you know, nothing's free, we all know that. So what we are doing is using these assets collectively to create that attainment agenda. So I did go back to 2010, and I was reading last night after this conference George Boggs's paper that he did for the conference called Democracy's Challenge. And all of you represent, I think everybody in the room, every single sector represents that challenge. How are we going to sustain this democracy for the 21st century? Louis Soares wrote about industry partnerships with community colleges. Tom Bailey, who's in the audience, I should have mentioned you, Tom, as one of the premier scholars. If you haven't visited the Community College Research Center at Columbia, it's world class. And that's the place, and I think I mentioned this, they just celebrated their 20th anniversary, and I go back to that website all the time because they have the best research out there understanding how we do things. And then, you know, their partners like MDRC or WestEd or others to really bring it all together. You know, and at that time, Tom wrote a paper called What Are We Gonna Do About Developmental Education? Okay, we are totally re-engineering developmental education. And I know everybody in this room has worked tirelessly. I know, you know, in New York, for New York State, Nancy runs all the community colleges and the universities. They've totally reinvented the math developmental pathway. All of the guided pathways work. So I could go on and on, and I'm going to turn this over to Mary, but I just want to thank everyone and just end with, you know, three takeaways from the PromiseNet. You know, the need to really deepen these partnerships across these sectors, the need to stay focused on attainment, completion, and then the need to use the evidence from the scholars and policy folks here to be able to deliver, you know, how are we going to reinvent our community colleges and our universities and our K-12 system so that we can get to that goal that we all want. I mean, I was sort of tearing up when Cecilia talked about, you know, being the daughter of immigrant, and I thought, huh, I'm the granddaughter of immigrants, and we're all from somewhere else.
That's right.
We are all from somewhere else, and so we just need to join hands and get this work done, and I want to thank everyone. I'm just looking at Michael Nettles, and didn't mention Michael. Michael has been our partner in the financial sustainability of all of this. When you say the word free, it is being funded somehow, some way, somewhere. So with the Promise campaign, what we have done with ETS is to try to unpack how do we sustain this work, not only financially, but educationally, academically, from the scholarship and the work we need to do going forward. So let me turn this over to Mary Rahner, or back to you, Roberto.
Good, thank you.
Thank you for letting me, you know, have these few remarks.
Yeah, thank you so much, Martha. I just, it's such a pleasure and a joy to have worked with you on this work going all the way back to the beginning of the president's administration. So, and I'm so proud of what has been accomplished collectively here in this room. Mary, can you share some reflections for us on not only on PromiseNet, but also on what the research base tells us, what your reflections on how we translate that research into action to strengthen and support our community colleges?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So in reflecting in the last 2 days, a few things struck me as dominant themes worth highlighting. The first is around research and data use. By all accounts, this PromiseNet, more than any other, had the strongest emphasis on developing a research plan, on highlighting findings from extant research and emphasizing the importance of tracking and sharing our data. The discussions were rich, and we now have a deeper understanding as a kind of a collective understanding of the ways in which our programs can use data. So we talked about using data for continuous program improvement and how to share data with our myriad constituents and partners in user-friendly formats. Another key discussion point was around messaging our promise. We discussed the importance of identifying where College Promise fits within existing communities and education systems. We noted that these goals are often centered around equity or responding to the local demand for skilled workforce and the related strengthening of the local economy. We also talked about how to carefully target our communication with each partner and constituent. So our messages and the modalities that we share those when we communicate with, let's say, students are very different than when we communicate with industry. We also acknowledge that these messages and the way that we communicate them will likely shift over time. So my guess is that there's going to, at some point, we're going to hit sort of a texting saturation, and we're going to have to be sharing our messages, especially with students, in some other form. And I'm not sure how we would do that through Instagram, but that may be the next one. Who knows? So the third emphasis I noted was on the non-financial student supports that are essential, as we know, for ensuring college completion. We learned about many innovative ways to integrate student supports at all academic levels. So those include, you know, having college visits, continuing and strengthening efforts to get students to complete their FAFSA, for counseling programs, for mentoring programs, for guided pathways, and that's just to name a few. There were whole panels dedicated to this topic, but what was really striking to me was that these issues and ideas and strategies emerged in every conversation and in every panel. So these are definitely not in the background. Also, I wanted to share my reflections on some distinctive characteristics of the College Promise community. So the first is just the multi-sectoral nature of this community, right? We're educators, we're policymakers, we're funders, we're researchers, and more. And we're able to talk to each other and to collaborate. And in my experience, that's not always common. The next is that there's a real palpable desire to learn about all elements of College Promise. There's a firm commitment, and the enthusiasm is genuine. And finally, I'm impressed by the high, extremely high level of generosity. This is a group that is more than willing to share their time, their expertise, and the detailed strategies that they've carefully developed over time. I'm really impressed by the collaboration I've witnessed, and it's all for the good of our collective students.
Great. Thank you so much, Mary. And
I had a challenge if you wanted me to go.
Yes, that'd be great.
Okay.
Please.
A challenge that I see going forward is that in our great enthusiasm, it's important to remember to move slowly and to move steadily. Martha calls it smart growth. And as we do move forward, it's important to keep sustainability in the forefront of our minds. I'd like to see that all of our promises are fulfilled. So if we promise something to a kindergartner, let's ensure that they have the support they need through all levels of their education experience and the financing at the ready when they graduate from high school. I'd also like to see that the free college movement remains open and flexible. So we should be flexible with our program structures and be willing to make shifts and revisions, hopefully data-informed ones, as needed. And we should also be really flexible about how we define and about how we categorize College Promise programs. As we work together to better define College Promise and to identify useful ways to categorize and analyze our efforts, let's err on the side of inclusion and flexibility, and acknowledge and embrace the continuing and continuous evolution of the movement. So finally, it's an exciting movement, and one that can positively impact our students and our communities. And I look forward to our continued collaboration to ensure that all of our existing programs continue, and that we can offer meaningful support to the many programs that are in the development stages.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mary. That's great. And I love that challenge, because I think behind this collective work is this imperative for change in the sector. And part of this is a discussion around how we can be good stewards of that change, so that that is done in a meaningful and impactful way, in a steady way, and in a way that ultimately really benefits all of our learners across the community college sector. Karen, I'd love to invite your reflections. Achieving the Dream has been such a tremendous partner with this movement from the beginning, and I think the value there of a network of change agents across our community college sector focused on student success is just really tremendous. So share your thoughts with us, please.
Well, thank you, and it's great to see so many Achieving the Dream presidents in the audience. And all the partners that work collectively with Achieving the Dream. And this is, I think, my third White House convening, and I've changed roles from being a college president to being the president and CEO of Achieving the Dream. So I'm seeing this work from two different perspectives, but primarily as a practitioner. So my observations or takeaways from PromiseNet are more about what we're learning and the how, and then what we need to do to move forward to continue momentum into the future. Mary mentioned the diversity of the programs, and I think that we're learning a lot about the typology of the programs, and Penn Ahead did a wonderful presentation about the five types of Promise programs that are emerging, and two of those models are community college-like models. That I think give community colleges a really good framework to continue to build and move upon. One of the concerns, I think, in not having a common typology or framework for moving forward is how to collect data in a way that has quality and integrity to really evaluate results going forward. So I thought that was a helpful session. A little bit more on the evidence. I think that we know a lot now about what is working with Promise programs, so we know enough for the new programs, I think, to move ahead very confidently and to begin to prepare some toolkits and some resources for those of you that are thinking about Promise programs or have early Promise programs and want to tweak your work. There's still a research agenda, I think, emerging that we can't lose sight of as we continue this work. And a couple of unanswered questions emerged for me in thinking through as I went through a couple of the sessions in the past couple of days. Many of the programs were struggling between the balance between how many dollars to put towards scholarships and how many dollars to put towards support. There was this finding that, boy, we went full in with scholarships, and when the students hit the second semester or the third semester, we realized we had to shift a little bit and think about supports and how to help colleges with supports. A lot of questions about the wraparound services. What services, when, to which students? Are those services college-based or community-based? And how do we leverage our community, our community-based organizations, and even the public benefits system to leverage more support for our students? And Achieving the Dream's finding out from our Working Student Success Network, and some of the colleges in the room are in that cadre of colleges, that those community-based wraparound support services are very important. I also, thinking about completion, and Achieving the Dream's work is around completion. I think Martha mentioned the DevEd. The DevEd redesign work must continue. Too many of our students still take too long to benefit from some of the Promise programs. Promise programs are developing a college-going culture, which begins to get at academic readiness issues that we've been struggling with in completion. The ecosystem of student supports is beginning to emerge and be more clearly designed. There has to be a lineup of pragmatic student supports with the Promise programs. Early, early opportunity and getting into programs is essential. This is all work around completion that has to continue. Accountability measures have to be boundary spanning. They can't just be related to the community college. These are community collective action kind of opportunities. So data sharing systems that cross-cut not just sectors of education, but also social services, for example, in our communities are important. And then figuring out how to begin to connect this work to the emerging policy going forward with the reauthorization of higher ed. The challenge I see is an opportunity to renew our access agenda as community colleges. Most Promise programs are designed for high school students coming out of high school. There was one yesterday that really hit me. It was called Promise at Work by the Pittsburgh Promise, and it was working to get at adult students, and opportunity youth. Really important part. We can use these Promise programs to mobilize our next access agenda.
I love that. I love that thought. Thank you. You know, this is, and our community colleges are poised to do this. You know, this is the nature of our over 1,300 institutions to really meet all of our learners where they are, regardless of their circumstances, background, and really help them get ahead and achieve that success, achieve that completion, achieve that industry-recognized credential or that associate's degree and that articulation into a four-year institution in some cases. That is the power of this work. We're so pleased to have your leadership. Thank you so much for framing these themes for the day. And I think our charge moving forward is going to be to take all of these pieces and think about how we can move toward more collective action, translate some of these learnings from PromiseNet, the learnings that we will share today, and some of our challenges for this movement moving forward into action back home. And we hope and invite you to do just that in the course of the day as we move forward. So we have a wonderful panel coming up to really explore some of the bigger questions around program design and some of the choice points around designing Promise programs and designing greater access to our community colleges. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn the program back over to Kyle to introduce our next panel. Thank you all.